Good morning, beloved ones.
Morning.
Turn to someone and tell them, you are blessed and a blessing. You are blessed and a blessing. You are blessed and a blessing. Yes. You're blessed and a blessing. I hope you all are still enjoying the excitement at being at the start of a new year. It's still January, so I'm still considering I'm in the throes of a new year and still enjoying it. Oh, on a side note, Richard, I was just saying, I don't know if he's a bass or not, but I found a voice over here that was very strong. And so I don't know if it's a bass, but it might be. You know, the Lord said, even before you call, I will answer. Might be an answer. So anyway, I just happened to see the gentleman. I was like, all right, come on, bring it. That's good. That's good. Blessings. Yes. But anyway, back on track. If you were present at our New Year's Eve Burning Bold service, and I think during last week's talk, you know that I encouraged you to come clean in 2014, right? That was our theme, to come clean in 2014. That means to bring whatever you're bringing, bring it clean in 2014, meaning that we are to release and let go of those things that no longer serve us well, and that we also are to affirm and to claim that which we desire in this new year and for this new year. You know that I also use this scripture found in Matthew 12, verses 43 to 45. Matthew 12, verse 43 to 45, which talked about the importance of keeping your house swept clean of all evil, evil spirits. Keeping your house, meaning your consciousness, that's how we think of your house metaphysically, right? Your consciousness clean or of negativity, as we would say it from a new thought perspective, clean of any negative thoughts or limitation of any kind. And if you were here in the weeks prior to the New Year's Eve service, you know that I did a 9-week series on back to basics, right? Taking us through some of the basic metaphysical concepts and laws and teachings that will strengthen our spiritual core. Because without a strong core, you just fall apart, right? The body's core was not solid and strong. We wouldn't be able to stand. We wouldn't be able to move. So these concepts and laws and principles, that they strengthen our spiritual core, and they provide us with a solid spiritual foundation from which to begin and which to stand upon and to live our lives. So in keeping with that same vein, I thought I would talk about some of the biblical concepts and teachings that are also basic to our spiritual growth and our spiritual unfoldment. And since we just finished with the year of the Bible, I thought, well, this would be a good thing. There are some concepts and some biblical things that we think are in the Bible. Some are, some are not. But we've heard them for so long, we think they are. But I thought I would look at some of these concepts, but from a metaphysical perspective, right? So we're going to look at some of these what I call biblical basics now. So let me start with reading the scripture again that I read. And I'm going to read two translations. I'm going to read one from the New International Version and then one from the Bible that's called The Message. And by the way, this is, I got this as a gift, a wonderful gift for my birthday, but it's heavy as the Dickens, but... But other than that, it is actually, it says it's a contemporary comparative side-by-side Bible based is on the New International Version coupled with the New King James Version, the New King James, which is different than the Old King James, all right, the these and the thous and all that is gone, and the New Living Translation and the Message. And, you know, if you really want to do, if you really want to understand, it's a wonderful version to get, because they're all side by side. And I end up reading all the four translations because it helps to give me a deeper understanding. And that's what we're all about, right? It's not so much that, so I've got to read, you know, the King James, because so many of us came up thinking that the King James version of the Bible is the only one or the right one. And, you know, biblically and scholarly, in a scholarly fashion, it is not necessarily the one that contains the greatest and latest translation. It was written, you know, in Latin, and we know that Jesus didn't speak Latin, so that's a hint right there. It was written in the 15th century, you know, which we know that Jesus didn't live in the 15th century. So there are other translations that go back further that are actually more accurate than the King James. So we grew up on that, right? At least I did anyway. That's the one that we're given. So it's great to take this and go back and forth and study it. So if you really want to get that deeper meaning. So I'm going to read the scripture again that we were working with during our New Year's Eve expression. And I'm going to read the New Living Translation, and then I'll read the translation from the Message. So it says, when an even spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. This will be the experience of this evil generation. And this is the translation that the Message uses. It says, when a defiling evil spirit is expelled from someone, it drifts along through the desert looking for an oasis, an unsuspecting soul it can bedevil. When it doesn't find anyone, it says, I'll go back to my old haunt. You know the old haunt, right? On return, it finds the person spotlessly clean but vacant. That's important. Clean but vacant. Some of us are clean but vacant. Then it says, it then runs out and rounds up seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all move in, whooping it up. That person ends up far worse off than if he had never gotten cleaned up in the first place. Then it goes to say, that is what this generation is like. You may think you have cleaned out the junk from your lives and gotten ready for God. But you weren't hospitable to my kingdom message. And now all the devils are moving back in. Don't you just love the way the Message puts it, because it's so clear, and it's done in a language that we can understand. You know, you get whooping it up, you know. You understand that. And so it really makes it so that we can take the message that the scriptures are trying to convey to us, and we can actually understand it and use it, as opposed to all the these and the thous and cometh and goeth and, you know, all of that. So I love this. And this one is so clear because it says, you may think you've cleaned out the junk from your lives, right? And gotten ready for God. Like I told you on New Year's Eve that I did some cleaning. But listen, I didn't clean out all the junk in my house. I couldn't get to it. So he says, you may think that you've cleaned out all the junk in yours and gotten ready for God, but you weren't hospitable to the kingdom message. And now all the devils are moving back in. So we'll talk a little bit about the kingdom message a little later on, but I thought we would start with the big frog. You know, Stratton Smith says in his prosperity course, which I understand was announced, and if you haven't taken it, it's a really powerful course. And it's a course that, you know, you'll learn, you'll have a prayer partner, you'll learn to set goals. We're going to be setting goals and learning how to actually put some of the principles, the prosperity principles, into practice. But anyway, and it's a course on tithing, teaching you where you get to practice it in a safe environment. And if you feel that something hasn't happened, your life hasn't changed, we'll return your money. But what he says that if you have to swallow some frogs, it's best to what? Swallow the big one first, right? Because then it makes all the, right, all the other things, frogs, go down easy. So sometimes we need to tackle the big frog first. So I thought, let's start with that. I wanted to do that, to talk about this big, bad, almost bigger than God concept of the devil. Let's just start with the devil, right? We're going to take some biblical basics, and I'm starting with the big frog, the devil. So we can swallow this, and it makes everything else a little easier. And the reason why I say this big, bad, almost bigger than God is because that is the way some people, including some ministers, right, talk about the devil, right? As if he were a worthy opponent, an actual opponent from God, for God, right? So I thought we would get clear on this from the very beginning. Let's be clear that there is nothing, nothing that can oppose the presence and power of God. There's no force, there's no being, right? No outside force, no being, no thing that can actually oppose it, no power, nothing that is, first of all, greater than God, so you can't even oppose God, right? So I want us to be clear on that, because if God truly is omnipotent, which we learned is what? All power, not even just powerful, but all power itself. If God is all power and powerful, if God is omnipresent, which means everywhere, no absence of that presence, of that power anywhere, not even an iota, not even in a corner, not absence, no absence of God anywhere. I'm trying to make it clear to people, right? And if God is omniscient, all-knowing, not just knows a little bit, all-knowing, wisdom itself, then there is and can be nothing that could actually have the ability to oppose God. Right? That's just simple teaching. So here's how we would, in New Thought, look at it. We would say that the devil, however personified, and when I say it's personified, it means that we have created the devil into a personhood, into a beinghood, made it into some kind of physical force that is actually comparable to God or next to God or just below God or something, right? So the only thing that's a little lower than God, the Spirit says, is the angels. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. So what we're talking about there is that we would say in New Thought that however personified we make it, this devil is simply a state of consciousness. All right? We're true students now. I'm going to hit this from a metaphysical point of view. It is a state of consciousness, a consciousness that is adverse to the divine good that is always present. Now, you might say, well, now who in their right mind would be adverse to the divine good, or adverse to the goodness of God, right? Or adverse to all of the things that God the good represents. Who would be adverse to that? Well, we have a whole slew of negative and limited and adverse thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and perceptions that do not speak to God the good, that don't speak to God the goodness that we know exists. Remember, I just said that the devil is what? A state of consciousness. It is a consciousness that is adverse to the good, which means that what lies within our consciousness are our thoughts, attitudes, perceptions, values, beliefs, whatever else, right? And so it's all of those thoughts, those negative thoughts and things that we might hold in consciousness that are adverse to the good. We can never oppose God. We don't have the power to oppose God. But we do, however, in consciousness, have the ability to hold those thoughts and feelings and attitudes and beliefs and perceptions that don't speak to the truth and the nature of God. The good. That's our freedom. That's our freedom that we get to have. You can hold a whole bunch of stuff up in your consciousness. It's yours. But make no mistake that what you hold does not affect the nature of God in any way. Okay? So, but it does affect who? It affects us, and it affects our lives. So if we are honest with ourselves, however, we might have to admit that sometimes it does feel kind of good to be able to place the blame for our shortcomings, right, on some outside force of being. It does feel good. You know, if I could have an outside force of being that's the source of all my challenges and my problems, it feels kind of good to be able to do that rather than taking on the responsibility for and of our own lives. Right? Because it's easier to say the devil made me do it. Right? It's easier to say something like that, that there was some outside force working on my being that caused me to do this. It's easier to say that rather than to say, you know what? I did it. I did it from my own state of mind and heart at the time. I did it from my own human shortcomings, my own frailties. We don't want to admit that, but whenever we are acting in a way that is less than the good, it's because we are coming from a certain consciousness within ourselves that might be a little limiting, that, you know, that might not be speaking to the highest and the best. But we have to own that. We have to own that, because if we're going to come clean in 2014, then we're going to have to clean up our house. You're going to have to clean up your consciousness. And you can't clean up your consciousness if you can only see yourself in this wonderful, pristine, you know, angelic process. If you only see yourself as only dispensing good and, you know, the delivering giver and speaker of good, then you can't really clean out those little thoughts that are way back there in your consciousness that are wreaking havoc in your life because you refuse to acknowledge them. So if we're going to do this, if we're going to clean up our consciousness in our house, which metaphysically means the place where we live our lives and we experience our lives in our consciousness, right, inside the house of our own being, then we're going to have to get rid of or cast out the devils and demons dwelling in our mind. You got to cast out the devils and the demons that are dwelling in your mind and maybe even dwelling in your heart. Because sometimes all of our things, you know, we're not as loving as we want to think that we are. It indwells us. The infinite love of God is there, but sometimes we don't express it. So we're going to have to clean this out. Listen to what Charles Fillmore says in The Revealing Word. And again, if you're going to be a true student metaphysician, you want to get the Revealing Word. And it explains some of these concepts that we talk about, the metaphysical concepts. But this is what he says concerning under the heading of the devil. He says, the devil is a state of consciousness adverse to divine good. Other names for this state of consciousness are the adversary, carnal mind, the accuser, and the old man. He says, there's no personal devil. God is the omnipresent principle of the universe, and there's no room for any other principle of evil or personified or any other way. Then he says, the devil is overcome by denying his existence and affirming universal Christ love for God and all men. The devil's that we encounter are fear, anger, jealousy, and other similar negative traits, and they are in ourselves. Christ gives us the power to cast out these devils, thereby cleansing our consciousness, cleansing our consciousness. I don't know if you remember the scripture one time when the disciples brought a young boy to Jesus after he had come down from the mountain, and they had been trying to cast out, you know, some demons from the young man, and they couldn't. And so when Jesus came down, they said, well, why couldn't we cast out this demon? And Jesus said, you know why? He said, then he first of all, he told him, oh, you unfaithful generation. He got on for being faithless. He said, you faithless generation. And then he said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. What we say in truth and metaphysics, by prayer and fasting, by affirmation and denial. You got to fast from that negative stuff and hold to the truth. That's how you cast out and get rid of that which has taken hold in your consciousness that's not serving you well. So the devils that we encounter are those untrue, false thoughts, feelings, attitude, perceptions, beliefs, or whatever that keep us from living our optimal and highest and best selves. They are those thoughts that are adverse to the divine good. So we would have a belief in sickness is a thought that is adverse to what? Health and wholeness, right? Or we would say holding on to having thoughts of lack or having thoughts of there's not enough or I'm not enough or there's not enough. Those are adverse thoughts to what? Abundance that we're holding. Or you could have feelings of intense anger or hurt or violence. They are adverse to the thoughts of peace and acceptance and forgiveness and harmony. See, those are all those untrue thoughts are the devils that occupy our hearts and minds. And we get to see whether or not we have them in our consciousness by what we're holding. So we have to learn how to listen to these high thoughts. You want to listen to the high thoughts, to the thoughts that I say are angelic thoughts, to the angels' voices, and not necessarily the devil's, which means to that angelic thought, to the high thoughts, as opposed to the lower thoughts, right? To those high thoughts that carry a higher vibration. Because if we could have low thoughts, devil thoughts, demonic thoughts, or thoughts of a low vibration, we can also have and hold what? High thoughts, angelic thoughts, thoughts that come from a higher consciousness and hold a higher vibration. Because one type of thoughts will lead to heaven, and the other one will lead to hell. And we'll talk a little bit about that. I was trying to fit it in today, but I think we'll probably cover that next week so you have something to look forward to. Are you living in heaven? Are you living in hell? Okay? So what we want to understand is, what allows you then to take up the high road? What are those thoughts and feelings that you can hold in your consciousness that would allow you to listen to and receive divine guidance, to receive a higher message from on high? Those angelic thoughts, right? Because see, this is what we have to think about. God is always speaking, guiding, directing. Even now, the divine is always trying to move us toward the greater good, towards God, toward the goodness of God, always. And whether or not we can hear it, whether or not we are listening to it and can listen, depends upon whether or not we are consumed by angels or devils. Angels or demons, right? Thoughts with a high vibration, or are you consumed with thoughts of a low vibration? This is powerful understanding for us, friends, because this is what I think of. The thoughts that speak to truth are thoughts that, you know, we can figure, are we working with thoughts that speak to truth or thoughts that speak to untruth? And I'm saying untruth and not untrue because there's a difference between truth and true. All right? Truth is that unchanging aspect of God's goodness and presence. That's truth. That doesn't change whether we dance or don't dance or have prayer beads or twirl around or sing or chant or whatever. That had nothing to do with it. It's truth, right? It's unchanging. And so we want to work this, you know, we have to work with, are we working with the truth or are we working with things that speak to untruth, false statements? When there's a phrase in the Bible that I always had a hard time either saying or whatever, and some of my more traditional friends would always say it in a fashion, and I would just kind of like, okay, yeah. But the phrase is this. They'll say, you know, the devil is a liar. Have you heard that? The devil is a liar. And I'd be like, whoo, It's like, okay. You know, because in truth, we might say, oh, cancel, or, you know, that's a negative thought. I deny that, or I'm free from that. But in traditional sense, they would simply say the devil is a lie. And I always had a hard time with that because not that it's not necessarily containing a truth in it, because it does contain a truth in it. But, you know, I laugh because we know that it does represent, right, that untruth, those things that are adverse to God, the false, the untruth, the negative, the limited, that which is adverse to truth. But I think I just could never say it, or because my mother would always say, you know, when we were little, and my brother and I would say, well, he's lying, he's a liar. She would have a fit if we said anybody was a liar. Somehow it was, we could not call anybody a liar. We had to say that they were lying or they weren't telling the truth, but you couldn't call them a liar. She said, oh, don't say that. You couldn't say you hated anybody. Certain things you just couldn't do. So, you know, when I hear things like, oh, the devil is a liar, I go, oh, you know, you're not supposed to say that. But in my adulthood now and my spiritual maturity, I understand the deeper meaning of that concept, right? That because any time we cling to an untruth, and we do, any time we cling to an untruth, metaphysically it means the devil has a hold in our consciousness. Not a personified being, but a state of mind and consciousness, that some form of negativity has grasped us in consciousness, and we are clinging to it, and it is manifesting that which we don't want in our lives. So, you know, the question could be, are you caught up maybe in obsessive thoughts, addictive behavior, feelings of resentment and shame or unforgiveness or anything of that nature, because those are all the thoughts and feelings and beliefs and attitudes that keep you out of the flow of divine good. They keep you, they sort of cut you off from that which would actually free you and heal you and bless you and allow you to receive the goodness and grace of God that is always pouring forth for you. Even now, God's grace is so full. The Bible says it's sufficient unto the day. It's here for us. But we, depending upon where we are in consciousness, we either cut it off, push it away, right, by clinging to that which is an untruth. So once you are committed now to doing this work in consciousness, and that's what casting out the devils or the demons are, it's doing work in consciousness. But once you're committed to doing this work in consciousness, by using your, you know, denials and affirmation, by fasting and praying, fasting from the negative, affirming the positive, doing all the things that you have to do in your consciousness, because remember, the scripture did say that if you don't fill your consciousness with something after you clean and let stuff go, right, more negativity is just going to come in. So after, and stronger than before. So, you know, the few pounds that you lost when you go back and you go off your diet, they double up. Now you got more weight to lose. You know, so that's the way that it works. So what will, and if you're not able to do that, to do this work, and to be able to clean out and put something positive in that, and when these other negativities return, you're going to find yourself living in hell, experiencing hell. And we'll talk about that, which brings us to this other biblical basic and understanding of heaven and hell. But in the interest of time, I have some things I wrote here, but we're going to have to put that off for next week. And so, I'm going to invite you to join us next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about heaven and hell and what that really is, what it feels like, what it looks like, that type of thing. We might even throw some sin and punishment in there to top off stuff like that, you know. And so some other biblical basics, right? But from a new understanding, right? So in the meantime, I want you to just spend some time this week checking out your consciousness, seeing what's in your house, who's dwelling there, some angels or some demons, right? Angels or devils. And then if you find, whatever you find, continue to do the work in your house, in your consciousness, so that you can not only be blessed, but that you can be a blessing. So we will see you next week. Namaste and blessings. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you. Namaste.